Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. We are so glad to be again as we want to worship the Lord. And so I'm very glad to see the good company we have here tonight. And we thank God for you. We have taken the time out to be in this service tonight as we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It is a wonderful time to say thanks to the Lord, because there's so much things that he has done for us, things that we acknowledge and things that we are not even aware of, that the Lord is working on our behalf in the background. We need to give him praise, we need to give him glory, and we need to say thanks to him. Tonight we are going to look on this passage of scripture which was read. And it is, while we are doing it, I am trusting that you will have the golden text of the Bible in your background. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I trust that we will just have that passage of scripture, that verse of scripture, in the back of our mind as we go through this message tonight. And what we will be doing tonight, we will be looking on the three times that Jesus wept, and the reason for him crying, the reason for him weeping, the three times that the Bible tells us that Jesus wept. We will be looking on that tonight under the topic, Your Sins and Mine Brought Jesus to Tears. That is the topic we are considering tonight. Your sins and mine caused Jesus to, brought Jesus to tears.
Yes.
Bless the Lord. The passage that was read tonight by our sister in Luke chapter 19, verse 41 to 44, speaks to a situation that Jesus saw. And having seen this, it brought Jesus to tears. What sin is about to do to an entire city? When Jesus looked at it, when nobody else understands, but Jesus knew what is about to happen, the word said it brought Jesus to tears. Verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. That is the city of Jerusalem. When he came on the Mount of Olives, which was an advantage point to behold the entire city, and as time passes before his eyes, and he saw what is about to happen to this city that he's looking on, tears came to Jesus' eyes. What sin is about to do to a city brought tears to the eyes of Jesus. And he went on, and he could not help but speak to those around him and explain to them what is about to happen to the city. And in doing so, he told them the reason for it. In verse 44, he told them that it is because they did not know the time of their visitation. It means that Jesus, the Savior, came into town. Jesus came in for a purpose, to save that which was lost. And the people of Jerusalem did not understand that the Savior was in their midst.
Amen.
And as a result of that, the influence of sin has gotten hold of them. And you can read the rest as you Google AD 70. AD 70, the destruction in Jerusalem. And that will explain to you everything that happens there as a result of the prophetic word that Jesus used right here. He said in the verse, "For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation." That prophetic word that Jesus spoke there as he wailed over a city that is about to be destroyed because of sin came to pass AD 70, when thousands of people died because of the Roman government, the Roman general called Titus. He pulled a plow right through the very foundation of the temple, demolished the city, killed thousands of people. Why? Because they did not know the time of their visitation. A question. What would Jesus say about America today? Is America adjusting to the gospel that is being preached? Is America responding to holiness? Is America responding to righteousness? Is America embracing the true and living God as their only God? I wonder what Jesus would do. What Jesus would say. What sin has brought. What sin has done to our people. Jesus wept over this city because of the influence of sin that penetrates the city and stop them from responding to the gospel. The God of this world had blinded their eyes so that they could not understand the glorious gospel that was being preached to them by the Lord Jesus himself. And therefore, the city was demolished. AD 70. Jesus wept because of sin. Jesus wept because of sin. We are having church tonight, and I want to tell you, it is a relief to hear the brethren. It is a relief to hear the songs sing as we worship God in the beauty of holiness, reviving our spirit of a hope that is great, reviving our heart and strengthening us and giving us the ability to face another day with confidence because of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When we invite somebody to come to the Lord, when we invite somebody to change their life, this is the end that we are working towards. That somebody will discover holiness. Somebody will discover righteousness that comes only from. Hallelujah. 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 And so Jesus wept over Jerusalem because of what the influence of sin has done to a city. They turned their backs upon the gospel. And then we see another occasion in which Jesus wept because of sin. And that is to be found in St. John chapter 11. And I read one section here. St. John chapter 11, verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Listen to this part of the church. Verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, come and see. And then verse 35, that all of us know, says Jesus wept. Jesus, sin has caused Jesus to weep again. When he saw what sin has done to the human race, what sin has caused, how Mary and Martha and the rest of the Jews were sobbing as a result of what sin did. Sin produces death. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And Jesus was seeing it right here. Mary and Martha, the brother of the deceased, were experiencing it. And it brought tears to their eyes. And it brought tears to Jesus' eyes. What sin has done. Sin has created problem for the human race. And Jesus is experiencing it here. Has he watched the suffering of people who sin has affected in this way? The wages of sin is death. But the Bible did not stop there. The Bible said, the gift of God is eternal life. And I'm glad tonight to know that we serve a God that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. When these things happen, he feels it just like we do. And it goes to the golden text of the Bible, for God so loved the world. God loved the sinner. God loved the sinner, but God hates the sin. And therefore God made a move in order to rescue the sinner. And this is part of what we're doing here tonight. We are rescue. We are having the service to rescue the perishing. We are caring for the dying tonight. As we reach out to save somebody in the name of Jesus from the sin that has captured a life over a period of time. And I want to tell the church tonight that Jesus loves you so much. Jesus loves me so much. That when you look and see what sin has done to us, it brought tears to his eyes. Because in the first place, it should not be so. It's because man has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why Jesus had to come on a rescue mission to save us from the element of sin. Two times so far, sin has brought tears to the eyes of Jesus. And the third time is well known unto us. And that is Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Listen to what part of it says. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Jesus had just gone into the Garden of Gethsemane, because that was his final move before Calvary. And he went there to do what? To present himself before the Father and ask him, his Father, if this cup, the cup of the cross, could be taken away from him. And then after praying, he discovered that the Father is determined that he should suffer for the sins of men. And Jesus concluded there by saying, nevertheless, it is not my will, but thy will to be done. I am prepared to carry out the mission that you have sent me to accomplish. And he got up from prayer, went to his disciples for comfort at that point, and he found them sleeping. But Luke was quite graphic in his description. He said, while Jesus was praying, he was in agony. Sin has caused Jesus, the sin of your sin and mine, has placed Jesus in this most uncomfortable position. He was in great agony as he prayed. And Luke, being a doctor, and understand the function of the human body, he declared to us here that his sweat was like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. It speaks to the extremity of Jesus' condition at the time. How much he was pleading before his Father. Because when he saw Calvary, he backed off. But he had to go, because it was his Father's will that he should. And who captured this and speak to us about how it brought Jesus to this place. And it was an intense situation, which his body language, his entire system break down as a result of the sin that came upon him to carry because of the human race. But as much as Luke was so graphic in his description, Luke did not go all the way in telling us the expression coming from Jesus. It is the apostle, as he addressed a segment of the Jews all the way in Hebrews, that expressed to us the detail and to the extreme that Jesus suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane. Listen to what is said here in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayer and supplication, with what? Strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Let me read verse 82. Though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. The apostle, all the way over there in Hebrews, speak to what happened in Gethsemane, supporting the writing of Luke by not only saying that, as Luke said, his tears, his sweat was like great drops of blood falling to the ground, and he was in tremendous agony. But the apostle added to that by saying, he cried with a loud crying. Jesus bawled out there in the Garden of Gethsemane as he cried over the sins of humanity with the intention that God would find another way to save man from their sins. With a loud crying, the psalmist, the apostle speak. And with tears, the apostle said. But in that, he learned obedience. And that is, this is a qualifying factor here. Because Jesus was obedient to the Father, he went to the cross, despising the shame, and he laid down his life in order that you and I tonight might be saved. That somebody outside of the church might come in to discover who Jesus is and be cleansed from their sin. Three times the word tells us that Jesus, our sin, caused Jesus to weep. Three times. And when you read the Bible, in Proverbs 14, verse 9, we are told that fools make mock at sin. Fools laugh at sin. Fools find pleasure in sin. Fools don't regard sin as any big sin. You think about some of the discussion that you hear on the street. Think about some of the dirty jokes that you hear. Think about some of the things that being said, that is being said in the bars, in the clubs, in the theaters, making mock of sin. When Jesus shed tears because of sin. I want to say to all of us tonight, I am glad for the church of God. I am glad to know that this light is still shining in a world of darkness to bring sons and daughters unto Jesus. Isaiah told us that he shall see of the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied as a result of his effort. They are those who are going to make decisions to serve him. And he will be glad when they arrive in the kingdom.
Amen.
He looked on sin. He saw it as he watched over Jerusalem and realized that thousands of people are going to be destroyed because of sin. They did not know the time of their visitation. He went to Lazarus' grave And when he sees the weeping and what sin has done, he himself started to cry. In the Garden of Gethsemane, as he approached the Father and appealed to the Father if there was another way instead of Calvary, the Father told him, no, you got to go through with it. And the apostle said, he cried out loud, saying what needs to be done. And he alone went to Calvary and died. But unlike what the Psalm 51, I like the way David approached this. David said to the Lord, I acknowledge my sins, my transgression. I acknowledge my transgression, he said. The thing is, we need to acknowledge our transgression. We need to acknowledge that we have fallen short. We need to acknowledge that we have sinned before God. And we need to repent, just like how the believers here tonight in this company have repented. And their names, our names, are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name as well can be written in there. But what it requires is acknowledging that you have transgressed against God. So David said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto that the multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgression. I have transgressed against you long ago, and even up until this moment, and I'm asking for your transgression to be removed. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, he declares, and cleanse me from my sin. That is where we are looking forward to the people in the communities, the people in the different places in America to come, acknowledging our sins before him, and ask for cleansing, ask for healing, ask for forgiveness, ask for deliverance. As he said, for verse 3, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. In other words, David was saying, I try, but I can't shake off the sins that I have. So I'm appealing now to you for you to forgive me so that they might be shake off and go away once and for all. And the Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Not just some, but all sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the apostolic church tonight is taking on its responsibility by having such a meeting as this, where we extend an invitation to you. You to come into the fold of God, because that which caused Jesus' life is worthwhile paying attention to. Worthwhile, the salvation that he's offering as a result of him dying on the cross is something you should not turn your back on. Because he was in sympathy with you. He was in sympathy with me when the word tells us that he wept as he see what sin has done to the human race. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then listen up to what David said. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Hallelujah. The Father discover. Look, I acknowledge I am a sinner before a holy God, before a righteous God. And yes, I might have fame, as he did. I might be popular, as he did. People might come to me for advice, as he did. And all the money that he wants, he had. But yet still, this part of his life was not right. And he appealed to God that the sin that was penetrating his life, he asked God to remove it. Is there somebody here tonight who thought about what Jesus did? Jesus wept because of your sin. And he said in the first place that you did not know the time of your visitation. Tonight, the gospel is being preached to you. And the Lord wants you to know that this is your moment. This is your moment not to neglect it. This is the moment of decision. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. The word tells us. The word also tells us, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Tonight's gospel is for you. God has purpose that you to hear this gospel. And as David acknowledged his sin, first you have to acknowledge that you're a sinner and you're in need of a Savior. And that's what we are doing tonight. We are bringing the gospel right into your comfort to let you know that Jesus wants you to be saved based on the fact that you were born a sinner, and during your time, you have piled up some more on it. Is there one person here tonight who, as a result of hearing that Jesus wept because of your sin, are willing to do like David? Have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to thy tender mercy, blot out my transgression. If you pray that prayer, I want to assure you tonight, as God's servant, that he is willing to erase every sin. Because the blood of Jesus has enough ingredients in there that will cleanse us from all our sin. And he will be quick to apply that remedy so that you can be clean and you can be saved in the name of Jesus. Is there such a person with us tonight? Is there a visitor with us tonight who have come because you have been invited by somebody? You are listening to somebody's phone by way of somebody inviting you to just listen to the service. Are you here tonight? I'm saying, if you are here, Jesus wept because of your sin. And Jesus wept because he wants you to change. And because those in St. Luke chapter 19 did not respond ultimately to the gospel, AD 70 tells us what happened to them. I don't want you to walk away from the service without making that most important decision, as the Holy Spirit is working on your heart right now. Is there somebody? Can I hear somebody say, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me that my sins will be blotted out, that my transgression will be removed, that I will find the joy of salvation. And the holiness that Jesus produces. He has taken away our sins and he has given us righteousness. Are you here tonight? Bless the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you tonight that you are God all by yourself.
Amen.
Sometimes we realize, Lord God, that you told Zephaniah and you told Moses that you are in the midst of your people and you are joyous, your face is shining. And it is a joyous coming together. Tonight, we are seeing where, as a result of that same love, it caused you to weep. It caused you to weep when you look and you see that there are individuals who are going to be perished because they have not repented. It brought sorrow to your heart. We remember, Lord, what your word tells us about that rich man who died and found himself in hell. He appealed to Abraham, that Abraham would send Lazarus, the beggar, with a bit of water to quench his thirst because he's being tormented in this flame. He heard the gospel and did nothing. And now he died and found himself in hell. And asking that Abraham would send the beggar with a tip of water to quench his thirst. But the reply was swift from Abraham. He cannot come to you. There's a gulf in between. And then his request was, I have 5 brothers. Send Lazarus to them and tell them not to come here. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, tonight we cry out to you, Father. We cry out to you. We cry out to you. You wept because of sin. And we ignore sin. Man ignores sin. And as a result of ignoring sin, found himself in hell. And now he's making appeal to his brothers who are still alive that Abraham would send a messenger, a preacher to them to tell them not to come here. Tonight we are preaching the gospel, Father. And we thank you for giving us the ability and the opportunity to minister on your behalf. And we are preaching to those brothers and to those sisters who are around us still that they will not go where that man went and being tormented in hell. So we thank you for tonight. We come to that the church can come together and in unity to minister according to your words. And Lord, we are appealing to somebody tonight. I pray that by your spirit, you will just touch that person. Touch those persons. And even when we should finish here tonight and this message should go on the website, it's another dimension of witness. We pray, God, that somebody who listened to this message will be touched, Lord God, and change their lives for the better. You have wept over sin because you realize the danger of it. And tonight, Lord God, we thank you that you are still a God of mercy with your hands outstretched, ready to receive whoever decide to leave the kingdom of darkness and to come into the kingdom of light. We trust that there will be at least one person here tonight, Father, who will do just that. As we say thanks to you, in Jesus' name.